Merry Christmas, everybody.
Ministers have said they will use every tool available to take power from abusers and hand it to stalking victims. It comes as the government announces more protections for victims of stalking, including the right to know the identity of their online stalkers. Labour MP Jess Phillips told Sky News more about this measure.
The case came out after Nicola Thorpe, who was on Coronation Street. This happened to her and she was told she couldn't know the identity of her stalker. So we will give people like Nicola and other victims the right to know.
Birmingham City Council is to consider road safety recommendations, including an extension of 20 mile per hour zones. A meeting of the council will examine recommendations set out in a road safety report, which could see other major English cities follow suit. And the Emir of Qatar will begin a two-day state visit to the UK hosted by the King. Charles will welcome Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani and the first of his three wives during a ceremony full of pomp and pageantry staged in Whitehall. From Radio News Hub, I'm Grace McIntyre.
We weren't supposed to burn the potatoes or invite everyone round at two. We said three. You weren't supposed to fall asleep on the sofa or ask me to marry you. And you weren't supposed to be here. But you are, thanks to the best gift you ever got. And mine is still having you.
When you donate to the British Heart Foundation, you give a gift that keeps on living. Search BHF today and help us fund life-saving research.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
You might want to step back from your speaker or remove your headphones.
Yes! I can't! I just can't believe it!
Mark's found out he's won £11.4 million on Lotto.
This is just... I don't... You know what? I've got tears in my eyes.
Yep, that's 11.4 million. Lotto, will you be the next millionaire? The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, colourful.com and apps. This is Colourful Radio.
Africa in Focus.
Colourful.
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 Genius.
Colourful. Colourful. Colourful Radio.
Good morning. Good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on the time zone that you're connecting to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus, and I'm your host, Julius Baluto. Wonderful day, wintertime in the UK creeping in. Wherever you are in the world, celebrate if there's some sunshine and share some with us, because in this place called the UK, London, it's getting a bit chilly. But we thank God we are alive. We can't complain quite a lot. This could be worse. We thank God for where we are. So share some sunshine with us. Of course, we are coming to you all the way from the heart of London to wherever you are on Colourful Radio. So today, in our today's show, we are so privileged and definitely a great opportunity because we are hosting a young, great lady doing so much work to serve mankind in different ways or the other, and of course globally in different ways or the other. So today I'm joined by Nancy Masila, and Nancy, she is the founder of Jasiri Network, and we gonna be with her here, share our journey and get to know what's happening from our corner. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Julius. I'm so excited to be here today.
So great. Introduce yourself better than I have.
I think you've done an amazing job. I think you've done an amazing job, but I'll try. So yeah. My name is Nancy Masila. I'm a Kenyan living in London, UK, and I'm the CEO and founder of Jasiri Network.
Wonderful, wonderful. And then, of course, Jasiri Network, you're doing quite a lot of things. And yeah, let's talk a little bit about you. Nancy, you came from Kenya and you landed in a planet which gets cold sometimes. But also, you are like, you couldn't call anyone, you know. You couldn't reach out to someone you knew as well. And therefore, we are where we are today. Can you just share with us your journey and also, you know, also the type of job that you do as well. You are doing us at the moment away from Jasiri. We'll still come to Jasiri.
Yes, yes. Amazing. Well, I don't know where to start, Julius. It's quite a long story, but what I will say is I'm Kenyan born, Kenyan raised. I grew up in Kenya. Actually, I grew up in Kitui for the first 7 years of my life, and then we moved with my family to the heart of Kenya, Nairobi, the capital city. I went to the schools in Nairobi, and then I went to boarding school all the way to Thika. I spent 8 years in Thika, so that was in primary school boarding and also in high school at St. Francis Girls Mangu. Then I got an opportunity to join the University of Nairobi doing economics and statistics. And then also while in uni, I did my accounting papers. And then, as many graduates tend to do, you apply to different companies, different graduate programs, and I joined EWC Kenya. And I joined the firm as an IT auditor. I was there for close to 3 years, I think 2 years and maybe 8 months. And very different to many people and also very new to me, I took a career break. I know. It was quite something because I guess I never knew of anyone that had taken a career break at the time. So it was quite a difficult decision for me to take, but I think I needed to take a bit of time to step back. So I took a career break, went home, not with a job offer on the horizon, nothing. So I went home, took a career break for around 8 months, but in not 8 months, but 9 months. But in those 9 months, 6 of which I was just home, but I'd gotten a job offer with KPMG London on the 6th month, but it took 3 months them processing my papers, doing background checks, and then that's when I moved to London and joined KPMG UK as an IT auditor again.
Wow, yeah, amazing. Look, I used to love maths a long time ago, and as long as you stuck to numbers, I was okay. But the moment they started to tell me X plus P plus one, I was like, the deal was the numbers. No letters should come next to numbers.
No, I agree with you. They shouldn't. They shouldn't at all.
I shied away from maths, and funny enough, everywhere I went, I used to say, I can't, I'm all right with what I have. I'm the maths I have, I know it's enough to get me going. So anything I did was like, can you just remove maths from it? But later in life, I was doing a postgraduate diploma here in the UK in management studies. Therefore, I caught up with maths again. There were core units which you had to pass. One of those was financial management and accounting. And I was like, I can be a good manager without this. And they were like, it's a core unit, you have to do it, you have to pass it. And therefore I met with Malta again, and I realized I had nothing to fear, by the way. I meet with people who are very good in maths, and they're like, what do you do? Like when you talk about hearts and oh, they're like, they find it very difficult. And I'm like, thank you. So at least we all are okay.
Yeah, I mean, maths is it's an interesting subject. I think depending also on who teaches you the subject, they can play a part. So if you get a really good teacher, then you're lucky. And some of us, you might also need a bit of tutoring, some extra support as well. It's not easy for anybody. It was never easy for me. I don't even know why I got myself into economics and statistics and then decided to do accounting. But to be fair, I quite enjoyed maths. I quite enjoyed sciences. I was a great student.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
See, you are doing
But
something
I had
here.
good teachers. I had good teachers, Julius. They were really good.
You're right, you're right. I think the teacher that teaches you anything plays a huge role you know, in whether you're gonna embrace it or like it or anything. I'll never forget my physics teacher. Always remember the subject of waves. And you come in the class and get confused. She started to teach us about ammonia, which is chemistry. And when the class is like, oh, it's time for physics, because he used to teach us both, you quickly go to his book and begin to raise his hands and making waves with his hands. And he's just telling us waves are like this. And I'm like, I'm just following your hands. You're not defining anything. If you challenge me in an exam room telling me, define waves, can I now use my hand to illustrate?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, so teachers, they play a huge role in making you decide whether you're going to like it or not. But, you know, congrats, you know, you're doing great. That's a very good career, by the way. And
thank you.
What you're doing even now, it's even greater. And, of course, probably if you focus now, you've been still with the PwC?
So I was with PwC in Kenya. Yeah. And then when I moved to the UK, I joined KPMG. So they do two different organizations. Yeah. But, you know, they're what you'd call the Big Four. So they do similar work. I was there till the end of September, actually. So I left. I left KPMG and I'm running Just Through Your Network full time.
Okay. No worries. That's good. For those who don't know, what I think this global organization, they are powerful. And can you just share what the work they do? Because I see them being commissioned sometimes even by governments to
do
auditing.
True. So KPMG and PwC are what you would call audit firms. Some people say they're consulting firms, but essentially they are audit firms. They audit different companies. Think of government, think of manufacturing. They are the people who look at the financial statements, they look at the numbers, and then, you know, when you see any numbers published in the newspapers, they're the people behind these. They also do consulting work. So if, you know, things around IT implementation, things around taxes, so different things really across the financial industry. So audit, tax, consulting, and anything in between. And each of those pillars can kind of like really go into depth. So if you talk about consulting, this could be financial consulting, operations consulting, IT consulting. And even in IT consulting, there's cybersecurity. Like there's so many other elements to it. But I majored in IT audit.
Yeah, wow, IT audit. Yeah, that's brilliant. So, right, how was your journey like? Did you all the time enjoy? What are the secrets of success? And maybe for someone out there listening, they're like, I can be just like Nancy. And is it a walk in the park?
Oh, Julius, that's a great question. Okay, number one, I don't think there's anybody who has a secret to life. Because if they did, I would buy whatever they have, right? A lot of the careers that I've had has been just me putting myself out there and trying my best. Even like, if I could say this, when I was in uni, before I joined PwC, I didn't know such companies exist. But what happened was, at the University of Nairobi, we had, just before you graduate, there'd be a lot of like career fairs. So different companies coming onto the campus to share what they are about and also just trying to recruit. And that's the only way I knew about PwC, KPMG, because they would come, give talks to us, bring some of the older students that had just joined them, and then they would share to us like kind of like what they do. And that's how I got interested. And then they would just, you know, request us to apply for the graduate programs, which we did, literally. And then also just joining the workforce, I don't think I knew what I was getting myself into. I think you kind of, when you're that young, you kind of just go with the flow because you don't know what you're getting yourself into. And depending again with your background, maybe if you growing up, your parents worked in some of this organization, then maybe you might have a peek into that. But if you didn't, then you might not know. I was lucky in that my late father was an accountant.
Okay.
And my mom is a teacher. So they've been very, or they were quite present in my life. And I think one of the reasons why I did economics and did accounting was because I wanted to be just like my dad and follow in his footsteps. But I didn't necessarily want to become an accountant. But the world of like finance really piqued my attention from a very young age because I could see my dad with the books, doing numbers with his computer. So I was always curious. I was like, one day I'm going to be like just my dad.
Okay, that's good.
Yes. And once you join the workplace, you kind of just start seeing what you enjoy, doing more of that, asking question, seeking out mentors, having conversation with your peers as well. And yeah, I Julius, I don't have the secret. If I had, I would happily give it to you or even sell it. But I don't.
Or copyright
Exactly, but I don't, and I don't
Yeah.
think there's a secret to life. I don't know. I don't know.
No secret to success.
Colorful,
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 colorful radio. Colorful,
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 Julius
colorful,
colorful,
on
colorful
colorful
radio.
radio.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. And then talk about away from your dad. If just in Kenya, maybe if you ever would see these corporate any other type of inspiration away from family, and maybe you thought at one point, this is exactly what to do, what I want to do, this is where I want to be.
Ooh, another great question. So it's very interesting. When you have your mother as a teacher, you are expected to perform very well in school.
Yeah,
It goes
exactly.
without saying. And
Yeah.
then with my dad being an accountant as well, he had a lot of like expectations on us, like really encouraging us to be the best that we could be. So I was very a well-rounded student growing up. So I did really well in school. Academically, I was also very present in like sports because my mom was like, you also have to be involved in sports. I was also quite involved in like, student leadership because at one point I was a head girl in school. I was also a dining hall captain. And frankly, I didn't have one thing that I wanted to be when I grew up. I think it kept changing. There's a time I wanted to be a doctor, just like every other young person out there. And then I realized, wait, I actually don't like hospitals. I'm scared of hospitals because I was so small. And so I was like, okay, cool. I can't be a doctor. What is the next best thing, Julius? A scientist. I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to be a scientist. And then there was a time there was this whole frenzy about people going to the moon, and I was like, wow, it would be so cool to be an astronaut. And so I wanted to be an astronaut. And then there's another time I was like, you know what? Maybe I don't want to be an astronaut. Maybe I want to be a pilot. So I've always wanted to be different things when I
Thank
was
you.
young. And I think my parents were very encouraging and supportive of me to dream and just think of all these different careers. And also in the school that I went to, being a boarding school, it was actually a girls' boarding school, Catholic girls' boarding
Okay.
school.
Yeah.
And the Catholic nuns out there were very pro women, pro you can be anything in the world you want to be. And they would have invite different old girls that are gone through the school to come and talk to us. So we had exposure of like different things that you could be, like different career paths that you could take. And I think once we had a female military pilot coming to speak, and so I
Ah.
guess that's even why I wanted to be a pilot. So there was always inspiration of different career paths for me to take, but I think ultimately I really, again, as a daughter, the way we are quite connected with our fathers, I kind of just it kept on me to kind of follow accounting and finance, and that's kind of where I ended up in.
Wow, no pressure, no pressure. Like many typical African homes or families, if your father is a lawyer or doctor or engineer, they always keep saying, we want another engineer in the family.
True. So,
or we want another lawyer in the family.
True. I mean, there was no pressure, and I'm really thankful for that. I think I was allowed to pick whatever career that I wanted to. Of course, it being an African home, my mom was like, engineer, doctor, you know, the lawyer. Those were kind of like the ones that were being thrown around, but I ended up kind of just picking my own line.
Amazing. And you are brave. You know, one of the things that I chose to go to a day school, I used to love my freedom so much. And I used to be like, I want to walk freely without being feeling restricted to one place.
Yeah.
Was it a good experience? And I'm assuming just because we were a bit far from home.
Boarding school is very interesting, I think. I went to boarding school when I was like 10 years. And so at that time, I was like class four. I think it was good for me generally, like overall, because again, like I mentioned, we moved from Kitui when I was seven. So my dad was working in Nairobi as an accountant. And then my mom was working in the village in one of the primary school as a teacher. And we lived in the village with, you know, my mom and my siblings, and dad would come and visit whenever he was off, and or we would go to Nairobi to visit when he was off as well. But I think what happened is once we moved to Nairobi, I did have a bit of challenge in getting acclimatized to Nairobi, because if you know this about being in schools in the village, you start school with the school instructor kind of like being in your local language. So school for us and school for me was being taught in our local language, which is Kamba. So all the way up until 7 years, we were being taught in Kamba. And then now you're moving to Nairobi where, you know, the school is in English, and, you know, you're also speaking Swahili, all languages which are a bit different from me. And so it was a bit of a hard time for me to get acclimatized to that or get acquainted to that, and kind of like just figuring out my way around that. So school was a bit tough when I was in class one, two, and three, because again, of that move, having to learn a different language very, very quickly, because that's what it's being taught in class. So I struggled. I think that was the first time I struggled with my schooling, with my academics. I wasn't doing very great. My grades were really bad. And me going off to boarding school, and again, the school was a public school. So again, there was also this challenge of the class was quite big. The teachers couldn't give full attention to some of the students that needed it most, like myself. That said, I'm quite grateful to some of the teachers because they still tried to help me out to, you know, kind of get to speed with everything. And I remember one teacher called Mrs. Wangombe, who was our class teacher. She was amazing. She was always helping me reading, extra work after class, just so that, again, I'm at par with other students. So me going off to boarding school helped me in that I went into smaller classes. So back in the public school, we were almost maybe like 80. And then I go to this boarding school and we're a class of like maybe 30, 40. So the class is smaller. And so the teacher is able to kind of identify some of the areas where you need support. So I got a lot of support when I went to boarding school, and kind of like that's where my grades picked up. And there's a stark difference between me being in the public school and also me being in the boarding school. So it helped out in my grades. That said, it was quite challenging being away from home. But because, again, it's you're in this school with other young girls like yourself, you make friends, you know, your parents are not there, you kind of have this freedom, but then you have this terrible food. It's kind of like a mix.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's just a mix, the horrible
food. I wanted to choose food. What you eat.
Yeah,
I wanted to have access to tea freely.
There was no TV. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, but it's not the end of the world, because at the end of the day, it used to be sometime only during, midterms or when schools are closed. You're home again, so it's not forever, by the way. So
it was 3 months. It felt like forever.
It sounded like forever. Anyway, that was Kenya. Let's come to this wonderful place of ours over here. Now you find yourself here, and what was your inspiration to come up with Jaziri? And of course, for those who don't know, what's the meaning of Jaziri?
Yes. So Jaziri is a Swahili name. Jaziri means, directly translated, means champion. It means courageous. It means brave. And to me, that was symbolic of this community of people that I was meeting who've left their home country and gone to a different country for their careers, for school, for entrepreneurship, for whatever. I mean, think of it. It's not easy even for you, Julius, you know, just having made that decision. And, you know, coming to this new place, you have to learn everything afresh. So I'm like, that's quite brave and that's quite courageous of people to do. So that's kind of like the name, why it was, you know, sort of Jaziri Network. But come to this place, I moved to London in 2019, right? And I moved and I joined KPMG straight off Kenya. And I didn't have family here. So my whole family is in Kenya. I didn't know a single soul in London. I don't even know what I was thinking. Making them, I don't know what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. But I think at the time, it just felt like, you know, you're young, you have this whole life to live, you might as well try something different. And again, London is kind of like a financial hub. So with my career being in IT audit and a lot of the expertise or a lot of the clients or the industry that I dealt with being in financial services, London made sense for me to grow my career. So it was either going to be London or New York or maybe Singapore. So it was one of those things where I wanted to see the world, but also knew London would be good for my career. And it has been, because the level of like clients and companies I got to work with, they are massive, spanning across countries and continents. Crazy, crazy big companies that I would never have gotten the opportunity to work on if I was still in Kenya. So it really paid off in that aspect. But what I did and what I did not envision was how alienating being away from home was, how difficult emotionally and mentally it was. Because I remember that I think the first 3 months, I really questioned whether I'd made the right decision, because I was finding it quite difficult. I came to London in September, so just about to get into autumn and winter, and so it was really cold. And I came in as an analyst, as an experienced analyst, and I was just wondering, having to learn so many things. It's a different company, different systems, different ways of working, and so there's a lot of, you know, learning that you're going through, and you're asking yourself, did I make this whole decision for the, you know, for the good of my career? And in that, you know, if I could have stayed back home, I would have still been continuing with my life, or, you know. So it was difficult. I won't lie, but I think ultimately I figured it was good for my, one, for my career, and also to where I wanted to be, and that's the exposure that I wanted. And just following my journey, then about like discovering that kind of like this new country, having to learn ways of the different ways of working, even different ways of living, I found it almost like a calling, really, that somebody else coming from Kenya, somebody else coming from Africa shouldn't experience the challenges that I experienced, and there should be a way for other people like myself to connect and have these conversations, network, talk to each other. Because sometimes you might just think you're the only one, you know, struggling. It turns out everyone is struggling.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's better to know that you're all struggling, you know,
yeah.
And help out each other. And that's kind of like why I started Jasiri Network. I wanted to create that space for other people to come together. But even on top of that, I thought how incredible it was seeing other young people like myself really doing incredible things in London, in the UK, and I wanted to share their stories. So funny, I'd actually called Jasiri Network Jasiri Stories initially because I wanted to share those stories. But people are not that keen to hear the stories, or maybe I wasn't telling the stories nicely as you do, Julius.
Maybe
But
you
people
didn't
are
tell yours first.
maybe, but people were more interested in connecting and meeting, and so we are kind of now moved from Jasiri. Our stories to Jasiri Network was of the networking aspect.
That's great. That's great. And how has it been? Everything, as they say, hunky dory.
Oh, wow.
Or is the movie in from Jamaica known as Cool Runnings?
Well, my time at KPMG was really. It was a mix of so many things. It was a mix of me trying to find my grounding. It was a mix of me discovering a new Nancy that I didn't know existed. It was a mix of me realizing, oh, wait, so I'm a black person, which is something like maybe you might have experienced because in Kenya, you don't really refer yourself to black. You're Kenyan. The most other identifier could be you're a man or you're a woman. Or maybe you could identify yourself with the tribe you come from or the place you come from. But never once do you think of yourself as being black. But you come to this country, London, UK, or whichever other Western country you go, and all of a sudden, there's this tick box where you're being asked, are you black? And you're like, what does that mean? So there was that. There was a lot of discovery of new things, and also just discovering new cultures, new ways of just how people here are. It's very different from back home. Your colleagues back home can most times also be your friends, but here your colleagues are your colleages and your friends are your friends. Sometimes they mix, sometimes they don't, which is fine. But yeah, it was a really interesting time. I got an opportunity to work with amazing people. London is very diverse as well, very multicultural. So I got to experience all those different cultures. Every day, I would probably meet somebody from a different country across the world. There's a time I met somebody from Mongolia, and I'm like,
Wow.
how amazing. I have friends from Zimbabwe, from South Africa, from India, from Burma, from the US. It's like they say London is a melting pot, and it's so true. And yeah, and again, I started Jasiri Network in January of 2023 as a passion project. Just like, you know what, it's really cool to meet other people. But then it just grew exponentially and just kept growing and growing until it became a whole thing, and it needed more of my time. And yeah, now we are organizing a summit in December. It's just a whole thing, Julius. I don't know where
Yeah.
to start.
This is Colorful Radio. Colorful,
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 Julius.
colorful,
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 Colorful
colorful radio.
Radio.
You talked about how Jaziri Network has grown and expanded, which is a very, very good thing. Now, I'm sure when you look back, you those days, like, who am I gonna talk to? There are no people in this land. No wonder they call it Highland. It's a sea of people where there are no people. So how has it been?
Been great. It's been great. I mean, with Jasiri Network, I think initially we started with 100 people in our community, and the 100 people were everybody I knew.
Wow.
So basically, my friends, a few people I'd connected at work, and this was just people we would meet after work for just to connect and chill. And so I remember in those very first days, just emailing them and being like, oh, if you're free on this Saturday at come to this place. We'll just be a bunch of us, come and connect. And it grew from what was like 100 people, and now we have over 2,000
Wow.
in our community. Yeah, so crazy. And I remember even from the very get-go, once we started doing kind of like those in-person events, getting invitation to the Kenya High Commission in the UK to kind of hold a youth forum. And it was just incredible that there was that recognition of kind of like what Just Student Network was doing in that space, and just bringing along my community as well to kind of like these spaces. And every time we get invitations, I'd be like representing young professionals. And if you ask me, that was such a huge need and a huge gap, because I feel like the young professionals, young entrepreneurs really don't have a place or a platform where they can connect and grow, and even just network and support each other. And I think that's what Just Your Network has been. It's been a home for the African diaspora professionals and entrepreneurs as well. Because people like myself, you start off in corporate and then you go into entrepreneurship, but it can feel very lonely when you don't know if other people exist. But now knowing that they exist and being able to connect with them, it opens up so many opportunities to us.
It's amazing, and I found that sometimes experiences of the corporate world are very diverse. And if you are just like new and probably alone there, if we are talking about having people to whom you have some norms and values you can share, is kind of rare. So could be very lonely. And at least when you come together, there's that synergy which goes across.
Yeah, and if you're Kenyan, at least being in a space where you can also speak Swahili, because you can go for months without ever speaking Swahili, and just being in spaces with other people from back home, just being able to speak Swahili, it's just like, wow, amazing, you know?
I know where you're coming from. I've gone through some of these experiences, which are pretty much amazing. I remember one time I was working at BBC Tunbridge Wells, and a floor of about 100 people, but I was the only one who was not like all others. And a drama kicked off one day because apparently that floor, the cleaning manager was black guy, and one day, there was delivery for that guy, but instructions were on that floor is the only black guy. So I'm sitting next to my boss, anytime boss, and here comes this guy saying, "Where is?" He came straight to me telling me, "This is yours." And I'm like, "What? It's not mine. I didn't order for anything." And he was like, "I was told you are the only, this floor, you are the only black man. This floor, that's where." And I'm like, "It's not mine." He said, "But you're the boss, you're the manager." I said, "No, I'm not." And I'm sitting next to my boss. So my boss was like, "Can you stop traveling to listen?" Wow. So
Yeah.
it's good to out of these setups to meet people, mingle, and you can chat to whom you can share the same culture. But at the same time also, I have no problems with I embrace diversity. I've worked across diverse communities as well. But I know what you mean. But it's joyful to see, your people, you can meet people and you chat endlessly. Talk about the things that you have in common quite a lot, and it's a blessing in a different way.
True, true, true.
Yeah, so how has the networking been a big part of Jaziri so far up to where we are?
It's a huge, huge, huge component. And I think out of everything that we do, because we do a couple of different things as well as just three, out of everything we do, the networking really, really resonates with the community. And it's become such a huge part of us that people come from across the country for our events. I know, like, whenever we do our events, because they're every quarter, we have people sometimes that come from all the way from Birmingham, Reading, Manchester, Coventry, Manchester. Like, they come all the way to be in that space because they're craving that community. They know how important it is to be part of that community. So it plays a huge, huge, huge role.
That's brilliant. And have you like been in a situation whereby you are able to identify key professional connection? Do you, in different way, maybe, is there any mentorship going on?
Yeah, well, we are still in a very early stages. Again, we started just last day in January. And so we've not yet had the opportunity to explore and expand some of the initiatives that we do. But mentoring is definitely one of that initiatives that we're trying to work on. That said, we do bring on board a lot of, like, you know, leadership executives to our events, to our webinars. And so in one way or the other, they also, in those sessions, do mentor the young people. So yes, that has been there, but we plan on having a more hands-on mentorship program for sure in the coming future.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. So then when you look into where you are now and how far you have come, what perhaps has been the challenges and maybe the successes?
Let me start with the successes. I think successes for the first part is there being that need. People actually turning up to events. Like, that was so wild to me. Like, how do you mean you're coming all the way from Manchester to attend this event? Like, that was so mind-boggling for me. And our events have grown and grown and grown. The last event we did in September, we had close to 100 people. And some of those people were as fresh in the UK as a week. And the way they had known about Jasiri is somebody else in Kenya had told them, oh, when you arrive in the UK, you have to go to this event. We also had a young professional, I think 22 years. And the reason why they'd come is because their grandmother, who's Kenyan, had told them to, you know, that is a great place for him to find connection and find roots because he's half Jamaican, half Kenyan. Third generation, like all the way, like it's his grandmother who kind of like mentioned about the events. We've had people who, I think there was this head of marketing that was hiring, and one of the applicants actually came to the event, and that's how they connected. So it's been really, really a great melting point of our culture, of our community, and I wouldn't ask it to change it for the world. We've had opportunities, like I said, to do a young professional forum in collaboration with the Kenya High Commission. I've also had an opportunity to represent young professional at the Buckingham Palace and got to meet King Charles on invitation by the Kenya High Commission. I also won an award at KPMG because of the work that I was doing with the Jasiri Network. Oh my God, like I could go on and on. But I think it's been such a beautiful, beautiful journey for me. And even now getting to the point where I've left KPMG and taken on Jasiri Network full time, it's just been incredible. And I know there's so much in store as well. In terms of the challenges, maybe I could start with, for the very first time since we started Jasiri Network in January 2023, we had to cancel an event. So we had to cancel our winter social, which was supposed to be on the 30th of November, because we've grown so much, we couldn't find a venue that could accommodate the numbers. So wow. Kind of like a really bittersweet moment. Yeah. And you know, previously the Africa Center had been such a beautiful partner for us, and you know, them allowing us to use their meeting room and them allowing us to use their social spaces for events. But we had grown beyond the limit that they have, which is 50 people. Like I said, like having 80, 100 people, we just couldn't fit in the spaces anymore. And so, you know, we had to look for a different space, and just me trying to kind of get access to some places that could accommodate us, and of course somewhere central in London, because again we want to make sure there's enough transport links for people traveling in, was just so difficult. So yeah, for the very first time we had to cancel that event. It was so heartbreaking for me because I knew there were people also looking forward to that event, but you know, it's one of those pains of growth, you know.
Yeah. It's a good problem to have, but also it in a way informs you that you need to be ready and expand and prepare not for just one small number, but accommodate more. So it's kind of growth, which is good in a way.
Colorful radio. This is Colorful Radio.
Now, when you look into the achievements there, have you come across with people who have success stories? Sometimes I know there a lot comes out of meetings, and people say, oh, I met my first wife, I met my second wife, or I met my girlfriend, my boyfriend in this event, and met someone we're doing business today. And you come across such stories like that?
All the time, Julius. Like, the amount of friendships that have been formed from our events is incredible. Also, just being able to have conversation with people either looking to move to the UK, and maybe they could be like at a contract negotiation stage, and they reach out because of the work we're doing with Jasiri, and we're able to walk through, oh, okay, so this is what your contract looks like. Is this a fair amount to ask? Do you need to negotiate for more? And then ultimately seeing them now coming into London, that has been amazing. And then just meeting them, you know, from those conversations. For myself, I've had such conversation for more than five people. We start conversation online. They're like, oh, I'm seeing you're doing this. And that's how they're able to get enough courage, or how they find us. So they're like, oh, you know, there's this job I'm looking at. There's this offer they've given me. These are the numbers. These are the terms. What do you think? Is this a fair amount for that place? Because when you're in a different country and you're coming to the UK, you may not have a good sense of what the numbers they're offering you mean, because you don't have an idea of like the cost of living, the taxes. So speaking to somebody who's already there, who's already on ground, is able to give you better insight. Because also sometimes you find for young professionals, they may not be courageous enough to start asking for more whenever they have an offer. So being able to kind of discuss with them, be like, yeah, actually you need to go back to them and tell them to increase the number, the salary number. So we've had a lot of that. We've also had situations where university students join the community, and through speaking with like professionals in the workplace, they're able to transition from being students to getting into employment. Because that's also one of the areas I've seen students struggling with. You come from Kenya, you come to the UK, you join these universities, you're doing your master's program, but then you don't know how to transition into the workplace. And if there's anything about the UK that I've learned is, once you come here for studies, you have to start thinking about your career ahead. Like, the first day you land at the university, that's when you need to start making plans, either for internship or for graduate roles if you're coming for undergrad, or if it's a master's, then you need to start thinking of how do you get an experienced hire role. And we've seen people coming in, joining us as students, us being able to share with them our experience, us being telling them like, oh, these are the things you need to be aware of, and them transitioning and getting employment. It's just been so beautiful to see, Julius.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And of course, leading this Jasiri, pretty much connecting Kenyans and all that. What would be perhaps your observation or your viewpoint if perhaps the government came and say, what kind of diaspora policy would you like to see?
Oh, wow. You know what? I do like to steer clear of politics, but I will say this. Currently, we've seen there's a lot of policies and engagement coming from government and trying to kind of engage the diaspora. And I think they're moving in the right direction. with all that they're doing. I think it's just there's need for more engagement, because if you think about it, the diaspora remittances is kind of like the top earner for foreign exchange. So there's a lot of potential for more to be done. And if you start looking at the numbers that are being reported, a lot of that remittance goes to household expenditure. So there isn't much going into investment. And I think there's an opportunity there for government to support more remittances going into the country, more so on the investment side of things. You know, when you look at startups, a lot of the startups, they need like investors. And I think the diaspora would be the perfect place to invest in these companies, because, again, we understand the country, we understand the needs. And so if we're able to give investment into these startups, into these different ventures, that would be a great way to start. And even just different aspects as well of investing, people buying homes. So there's more, I feel, that could be done, but I think we're headed in the right direction.
So then, how do you see Jazeera panning out days coming up?
So there's a lot coming up when it comes to Jasiri. I think, you know, I just arrived in terms of running Jasiri full time. So there's a lot to be done. But the most immediate one is the upcoming Nairobi Summit, which I'm so excited for, and which a lot of our community members are also excited. So the Nairobi Summit is going to be on the 20th and 21st of December. And it's our very first event outside of the UK, Julia. So I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm looking forward to it, just being back home and being, you know, with our community there. And and then of course 2025, there's a lot planned as well. We are planning on launching our virtual membership, because again, having our community across different cities in the UK and even some across different parts of the world, we feel like there's a huge need to also connect with them and have more of a multi-directional interaction with them, where they're able to even also reach out to other members as well. So we're looking at trying and putting together like a virtual membership for our community, where we can be able to store like our different webinars that we carry out, very, very informative, but we don't have a home. So we're trying to put that all together. And even for our events, our in-person events, you know, we could be starting to stream those live and, you know, having more people who are not able to attend watching them online. So there's a lot coming up and we're really excited at Jasiri Network.
Yeah, I was thinking when you say factual engagement, and I'm thinking of you could maybe end up coming with stuff like, oh yeah, tips for success, different professionals coming together to talk with Mender future Jaziri members. So like you're living up to the name. The name is brave.
Yes.
You know, navigating in new waters and being a captain is not easy.
Have you
found it easy to, like, even this event, was it easy to just put together, pull it
no,
up?
No, not at all. Oh my God.
I like the way you say, you know.
There are many days I wake up asking myself, what did I get myself into? You know?
Yeah.
What was I thinking putting an event together far away from where I am, because I'm organizing it being in London and it's happening in Kenya. It's a new territory for me.
Yeah.
I'm as Kenyan as the next person, but then having been away from home for the past 5 years and only coming into the country, I would say maybe 2 weeks every year, is not enough for you to get acquainted with everything that's happening. So there's a lot of relearning things that I thought were, and also just making sure that we have a great time. It's an informative session. It's our first one. So there's a lot of, there's a lot at stake for Jasiri Network, but we're really excited.
No, it's good. It's good. It's you know, it's always thrilling when it's challenging. So, but, you know, on a positive note, I think someone said that challenges don't come to challenge us. Challenges come to make us strong.
So, yep.
So you're on the right path.
Thank you.
You're on the right path, and you are doing great. Really proud of you. And all the best with the Jasiri and the meetings. So probably if any future or potential Jaziri candidate wants to kind of meet up or join up with you, what do they do?
Oh, we are everywhere. So we are on all social platforms. You can find us, Jaziri Network. Okay. We have our website as well. So if you just Google Jaziri Network, you'll find our website.
Okay.
You can sign up to our newsletter. You'll be able to see all the events. So we put all the communication on our website and you'll have access to that. So feel free to go to our website, to go to our social media. We're very active on LinkedIn. We're very active on Instagram. We're even on TikTok. We're everywhere, Facebook, Twitter. But if you go to our website, you'll get all the information.
Brilliant, brilliant. Yes, so Nancy's been great. It's been great hosting you. And I don't think this will be the last time we will call you again. So you keep talking. And
yes.
Yeah, so it's great opportunity to have hosted you, and we thank you for your time as well.
Amazing. Yes,
for members of color, rather for listeners of Colorful Radio.
Colorful Radio.
I let you show me ways that you like it. Follow your rules. Lay back while I shoot from the top, babe. Make sure you rip before.